Well, welcome everybody to the last Rice Report of the year 2023. Today is December 29th, Friday. I hope you're all having a great Friday. You're preparing for a great new year, getting ready for 2024. I know it's always an exciting time of year. For me personally, my two favorite holidays are 4th of July and New Year's Eve. So I hope you all have a great, safe, and fun and robust New Year's. And I hope you're getting ready to bring in a whole new way of thinking in 2024, hopefully one that's more critical in nature. So I wish I could bring in the new year with a ton of great information and great news. That's not my job. That's apparently the mainstream media's job, is to fill you full of hopium for the economy. But in this last Rice Report here, I'm going to be very light on numbers. And I'll repeat this. I do it every month. I do these for free. Don't want any accolades or anything. It's just information I'm seeing that I want everyone else to see and think critically about. Normally, I'll bombard you with statistics and overwhelming data about the market as a whole. But what I'm going to do today for the end of the year is a little bit different. I'm going to look at everything from a high-level strategic perspective, and I think it's one that everyone should have. These are going to be factual events that are happening right now that we all should understand to see what's coming in the coming year. I mean, that's always what investing or managing your money or just being prepared as a family is all about, is you know, living in the moment, of course, being present. It's always a gift. But it's always looking forward to see what you should be doing in today's times to prepare for tomorrow. So first and foremost, you know, if you watch the news, all you keep hearing about is the new all-time highs that we're breaking in the Dow Jones, the NASDAQ. This is the best year in the NASDAQ in well over a decade. We also have records in the S&P 500 and all across the stock market. And people are going through an entire exercise that we've gone through at least five times in history that apparently no one has learned from. And if you go back to the early 2000s, that term is irrational exuberance. We are living in irrational exuberance. Whether you want to believe that or not is completely up to you. But the reality behind the situation, if you look back at any of our last videos, there's enough statistical data to be able to show you that our economy is not necessarily in the same shape that our government tells us. And of course, Joe Biden, whoever that guy is in the office right now, he was actually on the news telling reporters to report the economy correctly because they started actually sharing real information. So one of the things that has triggered this end of the year rally, which we always get a Santa Claus rally at the end of the year in the stock market, it's always kind of the same. Some other patterns that you can look to is the stock market during an election year, which is 2024, if you haven't heard. You know, in general, you see about a 10% lift in the stock market. In this episode, I'm not big on timelines, but I'm gonna go through some assumptions, you can call them predictions, whatever you want. Of what I see developing and what could possibly happen. I'm not Nostradamus. I don't see the future, but I do see the present very clearly, and I have a very good background of being able to determine what those present data points can lead to. So this irrational exuberance, round three or round four, whichever one we want to call it, is coming from the Federal Reserve changing their position on rates literally more rapidly than some people change their clothes. 2 weeks before the last session, Powell came out and said that they were very steadfast on keeping rates where they are for a while. Then there were obviously political interference. 2 weeks later, they came out and kept rates unchanged, which was expected. But they also came out and said that they were looking at a possible 2 to 3 rate drops in 2024. Now, how does irrational exuberance work? It's kind of like a little kid saying, "Hey, I'm buying you a gift." But they don't know what that gift is. So they use their imagination and they start saying, well, it's a bike, it's a baseball glove, oh, it's a pony, it's a new mansion. The same thing happened in the stock market this past 2 weeks. We've watched it with our own eyes. If you're not watching it, you should, because the market has priced in 9 rate drops over the coming year. So the Fed tells you 2 to 3, the market prices in 9, and all of a sudden you have all-time highs. This is what's called market manipulation or irrational exuberance, whatever way you want to look at it. Either it's intentional or it's unintentional, but it's happening. So let's explore what a significant rate hike would do to an economy from a logical perspective. And I think it's important you think logically and not try to get wrapped up in big terms and big names. Let's just look at what happens with interest rates. Say we drop interest rates, okay? I'm gonna give you the example. Before we started raising interest rates, the US dollar was below 100 on par compared to another basket of currencies around the world. Then we shot up to 108, 107. You know, every time we raise rates, simple triple beam calculation. When you raise rates, you strengthen the dollar. When you lower rates, you weaken the dollar. Now, the dollar has its own problems. We already have BRICS nations joining by the dozens right now. We have a foreign coalition of multiple nations waging economic war against our country. And ironically, some people in our country are cheering for that to happen. And ironically, on the other side, some people don't believe it will happen. It's happening. We are watching about 65% of the world's GDP turn away from the US dollar. We've watched the US dollar get punished on oil trades, which is supposed to be the petrodollar. We're supposed to have complete control over the oil industry. We've watched many nations. This past month, there were 13 nations that transacted energy, oil, or natural gas in non-US denomination. This is a real thing that's really happening. So if the market is correct, if the stock market's correct, and we're gonna have 9 interest rate drops in 2024, here's how this plays out. Number one, it's important to note that after the debt ceiling debacle in Washington, D.C., they agreed on a $4 trillion lever. So they're allowed to print $4 trillion more before January of 2025. They've already printed almost $3 trillion of that. So there's at least $1 trillion in inflationary activity still to come. They are going to print that $1 trillion and probably a lot more. They're probably going to break that. But let's look at it from the right perspective. So if interest rates drop, that means that the dollar weakens. If the dollar weakens, then we lose buying power. That's also called inflation. Now, inflation hits hardest on small and mid-sized businesses, always has. And when we look at companies, their ability to maneuver, to make acquisitions, to buy inventory, to sell inventory, to hire people, it's all based upon their ability to have buying power. Currency should be nothing more than buying power. What do you get for the piece of paper in your hand? And it is just a piece of paper. So at the end of the day, it won't happen in 2024. Maybe it will, I don't know. But we should be rapidly moving towards sound money, either backed by some sort of blockchain or backed by some sort of commodity, which I think we're leaning towards. There are rumors of many events happening, rumors, they're rumors, but there are many events happening around the world. When it becomes finalized, it'll probably drop like a nuclear weapon. So rumors, especially in the last 2 years, rumors and conspiracy theories are all coming true. So I would expect to see some action there. But when we lose buying power, then we start losing the ability to grow. When we lose the ability to grow from an economy perspective or from a small and mid-sized business perspective, we start to lay people off. So be careful what you wish for. Yes, your 401k may flourish from interest rates dropping, but your next door neighbor or yourself or your spouse may lose their job in the process. It's always been very clear from the Fed's perspective that employment needs to be higher in order to be able to proclaim victory over inflation. So I'm going to go with the Fed for the first time in a long time. I think they will lower rates 2 to 3 times throughout the year. I think they'll be small. They'll be 10 to 25 basis point drops. Each one of them will have its own repercussions in the economy. We're already starting to see the repercussions from raising rates in the economy, because in commercial real estate right now, there were 13 buildings that were purchased for 33 cents on the dollar. Best example I can give you is out of San Francisco. One building was purchased for $96 million in 2019, and it just sold for, I think, $29 to $32 million. I can't remember the number exactly. But you're looking at one-third, you know, of the price that they paid just a few years ago. So commercial real estate is really going through it. Now, when commercial real estate loans like this are purchased, you know, when buildings are purchased like this, there's a loan, and that loan is defaulting. Unless they're buying these buildings all cash, which is very rare, you're looking at real problems in that industry. And I'll repeat this over and over and over again. Most banks, especially regional banks, make a majority of their profits giving out commercial loans. So if we start seeing this continued trend in commercial real estate where buildings are being sold for pennies on the dollar, we're watching loans get defaulted. That's a reality that's happening. And when that happens, it punishes not only the owner of the building who lost money, but the lender, the bank, and ultimately the depositor of the banks. I think 2024 is gonna be a shakeup in the banking industry. I think we're going to see a reverse flight to quality. I would advise anyone out there right now that in the last few days of this year, in the beginning of next year, to try to find yourself a neighborhood style credit union. Look for a local credit union that does not do business banking, does not make commercial loans, that is simply there for depositors, for individual depositors. They're gonna have the least amount of impact in what I can see moving forward. It may be 2024, maybe 2025, but a banking and a credit crisis is absolutely mathematically, not just possible, but probable at this point in time. So we're really in a race against monetary expansion. We always have been. Since the moment we were born and the moment we made money, we were in a race against monetary expansion. And what I mean by that is the simple ability for a Federal Reserve or central bank to print money out of thin air and collect taxes from people on their real assets and real time and real energy. That is the problem. Many people disagree with me, and that's fine. I'm just looking at it from a factual, historical standpoint. Central bank fiat currencies do not last more than 80 or 100 years, and we are at the end of that cycle. So we're looking at not just the attacks coming from outside the country, we're watching poor monetary policy allowing these attacks to impact the power of the dollar. So this monetary expansion, this constant printing of money, we've printed $2.89 trillion in the last quarter and a half in this country. Our national debt is now at $33.9 trillion. We will be over $34 trillion. And to let you know that the sneaky way they do these things is they use the word trillion like it means nothing. I'm going to regurgitate this again. A billion is 1,000 million. A trillion is 1,000 billion. Do the math. It's a lot of money. When you make it just a decimal point, it doesn't impact people that much. Oh, we only went from 33.4 to 33.9 billion. That's only 0.5. That's $500 billion. Right now, the Federal Reserve, as we speak, the Federal Reserve has not sent profits to the Treasury in a very long time because they keep sending all their profits to the reverse repo market. If you're not familiar with the reverse repo market, you certainly need to study it because it's a catalyst for many different things that can happen economically. We're hearing from all across the country, from various journalists, from various economists, hedge fund managers, that they are, I'm not a big doom and gloom guy, I'm just a reality guy. When they're talking about black swan events, it's time to listen. It really is. It's time to buckle down and get invested in the things that are stable, the things that will last. And most of the time, for most of all of our lifetime, that has usually been the US dollar. It's really time to diversify away from it into decentralized assets, physical assets, tangible assets, so on and so forth. So many economists, and I agree with them, say that in 2024, we will see this interest rate drop, which will be accompanied by monetary expansion or quantitative easing or money printing, whichever great term you'd like to use. I call it money printing. When there's more of the money in circulation, you have big problems. So we were looking at a reflection of the 1970s that saw inflation, we raised rates, inflation started to sputter, it wasn't defeated, started to sputter, and then we took our foot off the gas, lowered rates, and then you have the hyperinflation of the 1970s. And in the 1970s, the saving grace for this country was not higher interest rates. It was the use of domestic energy, the oil fields that we discovered offshore and in Alaska. And we're discovering these types of energy pot. We have them here in America. There's plenty of oil in this country to drill. And I think that what we'll see in 2024 with this economic war we find ourselves in is Western countries starting to step up and compete against the Middle East for oil. I think that's a very big piece of the puzzle to look at. But we are, and I don't want to be a doomer, but we are in all mathematical sense heading towards a possible deflationary depression. We are living in disinflation right now, where inflation's not going down, or inflation is going down, but prices are going up. And that's just all manipulation. Even inflation by itself is a creation of fiat currency. It's a form of taxation. Without having the courage to go through Congress and actually approve a tax bill, you create inflation through monetary policy and tax the citizens. That's what's going on. You are living through it. Now, these Fed profits going into the reverse repo market, I'm not gonna do that. I'm trying to keep this quick at the end of the year here. That's the end of a very long month, a very long week. And I just wanna get some information out there for you. I think some things that are very interesting to watch in the market. I talked about this a couple episodes ago. You know, watch the big players in the space. They know way more than any of us do. Watch what they're doing. What are BlackRock and Grayscale and some of these other big money management firms doing? They're trying to launch a Bitcoin ETF. They're trying to launch the Bitcoin ETF at the exact same time that the Islamic State, the clerics of the Islamic State, have now declared Bitcoin halal. Which is legal. So it was illegal in Islam, now it is legal, which means that you're gonna start seeing a lot of money from the oil business flooding into Bitcoin or decentralized cryptocurrencies, but be very careful on what is called decentralized and what is not. These are really big things. Also, Bitcoin was made a treasury asset that's viable for corporations. So you'll start seeing, you know, and cryptocurrency is a bad term. Bitcoin, I see it more like a digital gold type play. There are certainly cryptocurrencies that will be used in the banking system. There are cryptocurrencies that will be used in commonplace. It's a very confusing market, and I haven't had time this year, but in January or February, whenever time frees up at work, I'll do a whole half hour or hour interview with a couple of really good crypto people and bring some information out to you. But the theme for 2024, I think, is pretty simple. I think we're going to see pressure from political pundits placed upon the Federal Reserve to lower rates. I think they are going to lower rates, probably in February or March, a little bit. And as soon as they do, the stock market will go crazy. People will start to think that, hey, there's going to be a lot more money to borrow out there, but where's that money? There is no money to borrow. It has to be printed. So we will see more money printing accompanying lower interest rates, which we always do. We will see inflation rise. And as inflation rises, we will start to see prices skyrocket and really get out of control. And then rates will either have to go up again, or we'll see conflict in the Middle East spread. When you see Israel and Gaza go beyond the borders, which I anticipate it probably will at some point, you'll see real chaos. And then when you start to see, you know, right now we're already poking the bear with Iran. If we see a war in Iran, that's gonna create unpredictable events in the markets themselves. Doesn't matter which market. And I think that as we move on and start seeing some of the things developing in Ukraine, here's an interesting one. Our government right now has already seized $300 billion of assets from the Russian Central Bank and Russian citizens and oligarchs and rich people and politicians. They are now trying to illegally use that $300 billion to fund the war against Russia in Ukraine. If that happens, if that becomes a reality, and they're pushing for it very hard, if that becomes a reality, pretty much every prediction economically is off the table. We will not have an idea as to what will happen. I have no idea what will happen. We've never seen this before. We've never seen a government sanction and seize assets and then use the assets from one party to fund the other party in a war. But these are the things that are happening in our world. So as we approach the year 2024 and wrap up 2023, I think it's important to take some time and to really reflect on 2023, the good times, the bad, the things you learned from it. I think one thing, if I have to take away anything from 2023, is that, you know, I trust in my faith. That is the thing I trust in the most. You can't trust the information coming from any, if it's on TV, it's probably part of the problem. You need to start looking into independent journalists, looking into data, raw data for yourself. Stop reading headlines, stop reading summaries, stop reading someone's opinion of data. Get into the data on your own. Look at where our Fed balance is right now. It's, I believe, negative $130 billion, and that's happened very recently from the reverse repo market. The stock market itself makes zero sense. Any good traders, I know tons of, I was a trader for years. I know traders right now that are sitting out until this unfolds. That's what I know. So, you know, stick to the things you know. I'm gonna repeat and reinstate the same exact investment philosophy I've had for the last 2 years, which is precious metals, raw land, oil and gas investments or energy investments, and Bitcoin or a cryptocurrency of your choice, whatever it is that you want. It is a very apparent to me that inflation is the tax that the cowards impose upon people. But when we have a $30 trillion tax goal, I always think it's important. People forget this. Our tax collection agency is called the Internal Revenue Service. You are not a customer. You do not provide revenue. Taxation, per our Constitution, is theft. America really needs to rethink the way that we allow tyranny to be imposed on us on a daily basis. So if I could give you any insight at all, any information for 2024 that I think is probable to happen, I think in March or April, you will start seeing Congress issuing multiple new tax bills. I know that they already want to tax unrealized gains. Those are gains you haven't realized, but they want their pound of flesh before you've gotten yours. I know they're trying to force minimum required distributions out of IRAs, meaning that your tax deferred investment and gains are really don't matter anymore. The better you've done, there's no reward, there's only a penalty. Reevaluate your tax model, make sure you avoid taxation as often as possible, and if possible, eliminate taxation any way that you possibly can, which is why I think oil and gas investments are a good play in the private market. But at the same time, focus in on tangible assets. Every country in the world, China, India, Iran, everywhere, they are focusing their efforts right now on natural earth elements. They are focusing on commodities. Our country is not. Buy tangible goods, buy tangible assets, get yourself out of the banking system and invest it into whatever you can with stability. Gold is always a great play. Silver, always a great play. Find yourself a crypto play that's truly decentralized. It's a difficult task, but try to do it. But more importantly, as time moves on, make sure you have a plan and a strategy to avoid taxes and get your money working. Because 2024, regardless of what CNBC tells you, I'll end on this. This is a great way to end it. Jim Cramer came out 3 days ago and said, there's no possible way we're going into a recession. If you follow Jim Cramer for any period of time, you will understand that that means you are either already in a recession or there is definitely one coming that you don't know how to handle. So I wish I had better news going into 2024, but the good news is that you're aware of these things. Many people will be caught off guard by the fact that the Bank of Japan is in triage right now. If the Bank of Japan defaults, you will see a global black swan event. These things are happening. Prepare for it with tangible goods, tangible assets. If you don't hold it, you don't own it. And next week in our episode, I'm gonna go through what I mean by if you don't hold it, you don't own it. And even the things that you hold, you may not own. I will leave you with this. I've had a couple of you on here recommend that I read a book that I'd already read called The Great Taking. If you haven't taken the time, go on YouTube. They have a documentary called The Great Taking. Or go to the website, thegreattaking.com, and just take a look at what David Webb has put together with 10 years of research. The assets we hold, we may not actually own them. I've told you this for, 6 months on this little podcast we do here, that even the stocks you think you own, they're proxy ownership. They're owned by the DTCC and a company called Seed & Co. You just own them for a period, much like your home. If you have a loan against your home, you don't really own your home. You own the profits above the margin from the debt that you've accumulated. So next week, I'm going to dive into The Great Taking and asset protection. I think this is a really big thing to understand. There are certainly a million horrible things that could happen, way worse than what I'm talking about in the world. But there are also a million great things that happen. Life is not about money. It's not about understanding the stock market. This is going to be a great year for families. I think that we're going to see major social change in this country. We probably are going to see civil unrest in this country. We do have 13 million people in this country who don't belong here, and we don't know why they're here or what they're here for. But in the midst of all that, that's when you find the real beauty in life. So I wish all of you an amazing new year. I hope you have a great and safe New Year's Eve. And I look forward to seeing you on the first Rice Report of 2024 next Friday. But until then, God bless you all. Take care. And always, always be vigilant in your critical thinking and your research. God bless you all. Have a great weekend.